Radio Prague News.
The Czech government has signed an agreement with 16 churches on 59 billion crowns of financial compensation, a part of a broad property restitution deal. Several members of the judiciary are under investigation by the organized crime unit of the Czech police, according to a Czech TV report. And the police have broken up a drug smuggling ring which supplied marijuana and crystal methamphetamine to Germany. Prime Minister Petr Nečas on Friday signed agreements with 16 churches and religious societies on financial compensation amounting to 59 billion crowns for property confiscated by the communist regime. The agreement is part of a broad property restitution deal approved by Parliament last year. The churches are set to receive funds over a period of 30 years. After that time, they will receive no public funding. The agreement has come under criticism from the opposition, which on Thursday lodged a last-minute complaint against it with the Constitutional Court. The court secretary said on Friday it would be proper for the Czech government to postpone signing of the contracts until the Constitutional Court delivers a verdict on the issue. In related news, the Baptist Union in the Czech Republic rejected the agreement with the government on financial compensation, the group's head Milan Kern said on Friday. The church was set to receive some 228 million crowns under the deal. However, Mr. Kern said they would rather fund their church with contributions from members. The Baptists are the only church which took part in the property restitution negotiations that eventually refused to sign the agreement. The group has around 2,500 members. Several members of the judiciary are under investigation by the organized crime unit of the Czech police, according to a report by Czech TV. The broadcaster said that among those investigated was Prague District Judge Ondřej Havlín. The police reportedly interrogated several people on Thursday and are now searching public offices for evidence. Prague Supreme Attorney Lenka Bradáčová said more details of the case would be released over the weekend. This year's deficit of Czech public finances should not exceed 3% of gross domestic product, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek said on Friday. Mr. Kalousek's remarks came in reaction to an estimate by the European Commission, which predicted that the deficit would reach 3.1% of the country's GDP. Keeping the gap below 3% would bring an end to the excessive deficit procedure launched against the Czech Republic by the European Commission in 2009, Mr. Kalousek said. The finance minister, however, warned that the target could only be met provided that the European economy does not experience any dramatic downturn this year. The head of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, would like to meet with the Czech president-elect Miloš Zeman as soon as possible, EU Commissioner for Enlargement Stefan Füle said following a meeting with Mr. Zeman in Prague on Friday. Miloš Zeman invited Mr. Barroso to Prague shortly after his victory in the first-ever direct presidential election last month. The president-elect said both officials could fly the EU flag over Prague Castle, a gesture the outgoing president Václav Klaus consistently rejected. Around one-third of homeless people living in the Czech Republic seek assistance, according to a new survey by the Czech Statistical Office and social services providers, which was released on Friday. About the same number of them also have jobs. The survey counted 11,500 homeless people living in the country. However, the real number of the homeless could be as much as three times higher. The highest number of the homeless, 2,600, was registered in the Northern Moravian Silesian region, followed by Prague and South Moravia. In cooperation with their German colleagues, the Czech police and customs officials have arrested four men suspected of smuggling illicit drugs from the Czech Republic to Germany, a spokesman for the Czech customs said on Friday. The officers also confiscated marijuana and crystal methamphetamine worth around 7 million crowns, as well as hundreds of thousands of crowns in cash. The police believe the men were in charge of an extensive drug smuggling network with links to Vietnam. If convicted, the men could face up to 18 years in prison. Viktoria Plzeň have advanced in football's Europa League after a 2-0 home win over Napoli, which gave them a remarkable 5-0 aggregate victory over the Italian side. The goals in Thursday's second leg came from Kovařík and Tetzel. Sparta Prague, meanwhile, have exited the competition. Trailing 1-0 after the first leg in Prague, they gave Chelsea a scare when a goal from David Lafata put them ahead for a long period of the game. However, an equaliser in time added on killed the Czechs' hopes for forcing the tie to extra time. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The weekend will be mostly overcast with snow across the country. Daytime highs should range between minus 3 and plus 1 degrees Celsius. My name is Andrej Trend, that's the end of the news.
Hi, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, the Czech government signs a series of treaties with church leaders on the return of their property. We'll have a roundup of this week's Czech business news, and in the arts we visit Divadlo Semafor, a legendary Prague musical theatre. All that's coming up in today's programme. On Friday, the Czech government moved to cement a deal on church restitutions that the opposition Social Democrats are challenging at the Constitutional Court. Prime Minister Petr Nečas and representatives of 16 churches signed bilateral agreements under which the state will pay them financial compensation to the tune of 59 billion crowns over a period of 30 years. Daniela Lazarova reports.
Friday's ceremony at the office of the government has put a final seal on a hard-won agreement that was 20 years in the making. According to the Church Restitution Law, approved by the lower house and signed into law by the president late last year, the country's churches will receive 75 billion crowns worth of land and property confiscated by the communist regime and get 59 billion crowns worth of compensation money for the rest to be paid by the state over a period of 30 years. In addition to righting the wrongs of the past, the agreement will enable churches active in the Czech Republic to gain full independence from the state by 2030. The signing of individual agreements between the government and 16 of the country's churches on Friday was more than just a formality, naturally ensuing from the approved law. The country's three opposition parties are vehemently opposed to the deal and have made a last-ditch attempt to get the law abolished by the Constitutional Court. Legal experts say the signed agreements will remain valid even if the Constitutional Court abolishes the church restitution law. Jan Kisela, an expert on constitutional law, explains.
A negative verdict from the court regarding the restitution law could prevent the government from signing such agreements. But if the agreements have already been signed, then there is really not much you can do, unless you find grounds on which to challenge the validity of the laws.
The opposition Social Democrats, who this week lodged a complaint against the restitution law with the Constitutional Court, are outraged by the move. The Speaker of the left-dominated Senate, Milan Štěch, accused the government of making a preemptive strike against a possible negative verdict by the court.
This is clearly an attempt to bypass one of the pillars of the state, in this case the judiciary power of the Constitutional Court.
Just hours ahead of the signing ceremony, the Social Democrats appealed to the Constitutional Court to issue a preliminary ruling which would halt the signing of the agreements. However, the court was unable to meet at such short notice and merely issued a statement saying it would be politically correct for the government to await its verdict on the restitution bill. At the same time, it confirmed that legally nothing stood in the government's way. The government has defended its decision, countering that churches had waited long enough for a settlement and arguing that in an earlier ruling, the Constitutional Court itself had called for the restitution process to be concluded as soon as possible in order to avert a possible suit in a European court of law. Today's settlement with 16 Czech churches will doubtless be seen as a significant milestone in their modern history. However, the twists and turns accompanying the restitution process speak volumes about the position of churches in present-day Czech society, as did the fact that not a single church representative was present at a government press briefing following the signing ceremony.
Thank you for that report, Daniela Lazarova. And if you have any thoughts on the church restitution, do share them with us. You can contact us via letter, via email, on Facebook, or even on Twitter. It's Friday, we're a third of the way through the programme, and that can mean only one thing. It's time for this week's look at the business news, for which I'm joined by Jan Richter.
The Czech economy is currently passing through the lowest point of a recession that has been going on for roughly a year and a half. That's the view of the governor of the Czech National Bank, Miroslav Singer, who made the comments during a lecture this week. Mr. Singer also said inflation had dipped to 1.9% in January, below the central bank's target of 2%. He said a sharp rise in prices was not expected. In its latest forecast, the central bank revised its GDP forecast for 2013 from growth of 0.2% to a contraction of 0.3%.
Meanwhile, the European Commission has also revised its outlook for the Czech economy downwards, though it doesn't take such a negative view as the Czech National Bank. In a forecast released on Friday, the Commission said the Czech economy would likely stagnate this year. Meanwhile, it believes the budget deficit will exceed the 3% of GDP targeted by the government. That's an assertion dismissed by the Czech Finance Minister, Miroslav Kalousek.
While ČEZ has been threatened with losing its distribution license in Bulgaria this week, on the home front there could soon be rather more positive news for the Czech power giant. Hospodářské noviny reported on Friday that after lengthy talks, ČEZ has agreed a contract with Czech Coal that will be worth over 200 billion crowns, making it one of the biggest deals in the history of the country.
The biggest legal dispute over bank charges seen in the Czech Republic has got underway, with 40,000 customers filing a class action for the return of fees for maintaining credit accounts. In total, they're demanding half a billion crowns back from the banks. The angry customers have been brought together by a website created by a group of lawyers. For their part, the banks say the fees they impose are in line with the law, though some have dropped such charges for newly opened credit accounts.
Many medicines are being snapped up in the Czech Republic and sold abroad, chiefly across the border in Germany, where they are far more expensive, Mladá fronta dnes reported this week. The newspaper quoted the State Institute for Drug Control as saying that one-fifth of medicines sold in the Czech market are subsequently resold abroad. As a result, it is hard to find a regular supply of some drugs, such as those that alleviate HIV, putting the health of patients at some risk.
The average monthly wage of women in the Czech Republic last year was just under 22,500 crowns, or almost 6,000 crowns less than the average for men. That's according to official figures for the 1996 to 2011 period, released this week. The median gross income of women stood at 84% of the median gross income of men. Experts say the reason for the gap is the fact that women work in professions and sectors with lower salaries. There are relatively few women in management positions, and they also earn less than their male counterparts. One consequence of the situation is that women receive lower old age pensions. For Czech people of a certain age, few names in the world of the arts mean as much as Semafor, a musical theatre that in the 1960s was one of the most important cultural centres in communist Czechoslovakia. Semafor is still going strong, and it's the subject of this edition of The Arts by Christian Falvey.
Já zpívám píseň o rose, která se v trávě třpytí.
The Semafor Theatre, one of the oldest continuous traditions of modern Czech entertainment, is still putting out new performances after 53 years of existence. The latest concoction of multi-genre comedy theatre is Kam se podjela Valeria, or Where Did Valerie Go?, which has four pre-premieres this week and next before the real premiere in September. The heart and soul of the theatre, Jitka Molavcová and Jiří Suchý, tell us what we can expect.
Tato komedie je z prostředí hyperaktivního.
It takes place in an institute for the hyperactive, where Mr. and Mrs. Toval put their daughter Valerie for re-education. But Valerie got lost at some point, and I won't tell you the twist because that would spoil it. It's a musical comedy, so there are lots of songs, including one about throwing authorities out of windows, which I think will resonate with the audience.
Zoru budou diváci reagovat.
Just recently, I tried to figure out how many plays we have in our repertoire, and if I reckon with three premieres a year, that means 150 premieres in 50 years. So in 53 years, maybe we've done 160 plays. And since we only do our own work, it was up to me to write all of them.
To je pro nás velice určující.
The tireless 80-year-old comedy theatre extraordinaire Jiří Suchý, who founded the famous theatre on the Balustrade in 1958, and Semaphore, or Traffic Light, a year later. Semaphore is not your everyday theatre. Most of its classic productions are neither dramas nor musicals. Comedy, song and dance, absurdity and a love for lovely ladies, essentially in that order, are the central features of a Semaphore production. But it's not just cabaret either. Originally an acronym for Sedm Malých Forem, the name Semaphore, aside from the stoplight meaning, refers to the original intention of presenting seven forms of performance art: film, poetry, jazz, puppetry, dance, fine art, and cabaret. That grand scheme was abandoned after a few seasons due to the excessive demands it put on the actors. But Where Did Valerie Go? Shows there are still lots of invention, as well as new demands on actors.
I always want to surprise the public with something new. Sometimes we have a play with three people, sometimes with 25. Sometimes the theme is Erben's bouquet, sometimes it's a chamber comedy, but I want to do something different every time. And this time I was thinking that we have too little physical exertion, so I thought up a play around an institute for hyperactive individuals who get on other people's nerves. So for that purpose, we had the actors trained in acrobatics and took on some especially physically competent people.
Měla vlasy samou loknu, ráno přistoupila k oknu.
And so it is that Where Did Valerie Go begins with actors flying around the stage and bouncing off the walls as they sing and dance and speak. But mind you, there's no playing in a proper Semaphore play.
Ono to vlastně v pravým slova smyslu hra to není. Já jako kdybych...
They're not plays in the strictest sense of the word. I would fail as a dramatist because of everything I've written. No one ever cares about the story. They like the songs, the fun, the humor, and we keep them entertained with those things. Our visitors never care how the hero ends up or how the bad guy is punished. They laugh at both of them. And in Semaphore, the humor is a substitute for drama.
The reason why Semaphore is such a different kind of theater emerges entirely from the personality and predilections of Jiří Suchý, and at least in part from the way he started out in the 1950s, basically just a kid who was dying to get on the stage.
I was a complete anti-talent starting out. That's not modesty, it's the holy truth. An amateur theater group even asked me to stop coming after a few rehearsals. But I longed to act on stage, so I started a theater of my own that I couldn't get kicked out of. And gradually I got better, so I don't collide with the other actors on the stage anymore and can be understood when I speak. But it's not acting in the strictest sense. When I got the Thalia Award, the highest accolade for theater acting, I said in my speech that I am a very problematic actor, as I can only play myself and no other role.
Hope then for those who yearn to act but haven't the knack. Today the name Jiří Suchý is rarely spoken without a superlative before it, and no one can doubt the incredible mark he and his theatres have left on theatre production in Central Europe. Next to the great man is also a great woman, one who has been with Semaphore since 1970, who young Czechs know from childhood, thanks to her many television roles for children, and who's earned the highest accolades in serious drama as well, Jitka Molavcová.
Já jsem od dětství přála dělat divadlo. Přála jsem si být herečkou.
Even in my childhood, I wanted to be an actress. When they said, what do you want to be when you grow up, little girl? I would say, if I can't be an actress, then I don't care. Fate was kind enough to let me become an actress here in Semaphore, where Mr. Suchý and Jiří Schlitter had invented this blend of music, comedy and poetry. And if I had not dropped anchor in Semaphore, then I would have looked for that combination of music, comedy and poetry elsewhere. Mr. Suchy has never left this path. It fascinates me. I help him with it, and I think I've stayed because we believe in each other. He believes in me as an actress, and I in him as a writer. We've walked this path now for 43 years, and we hope we'll continue for another 50.
Ještě takových 50 let budeme kráčet.
Když měsíc rozlije světlo své po kraji a hvězdy řeknou, že čas je jít vstát, pramínek vlasů jí ustřihnu podají. Komu, no přece ten, kterou mám rád.
Today, Semaphore, like theaters all over Europe, is contending with a financial crisis. Specifically, that means a lack of 4 million crowns that it needs to survive. Prominent plays like The Bouquet and Lysistrata had to be discontinued because of their huge casts, and Jiří Suchý is now writing plays for 3 instead of 23. Every visitor, he says, is now a sponsor. But as Jitka Molavcová says, more than money or anything else, it's Jiří Suchý himself who makes Semaphore what it is.
Já si myslím, kdyby pana Suchého přestalo bavit psát a hrát.
If Mr. Suchý ever gets bored of writing and acting, then there won't be any Semaphore anymore. But maybe new young artists will come about and make their own theatre that draws on Semaphore, just like Suchý and Schlitter were influenced by the Prague Free Theatre and by Voskovec, Verich and Jaroslav Ježek and founded the Semaphore Theatre, there will be others who will be influenced by us. I believe there are very many talented young people who are on the same wave as we are and have the humor inside them, and I keep my fingers crossed for them.
A mají ten humor v sobě a tak jim držím palce.
Great stuff. That edition of The Arts by Christian Falvey was first broadcast in June last year. If you have any comments on today's program, don't hesitate to get in touch. Contact us at email, by email rather, at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12, that's Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. And we're on Facebook and on Twitter. But that's all for now from me, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague. Thank you for listening and goodbye.